That is so true. Denise Lockwood is here from Racine County Eye, the founder of Racine County Eye. Isn't that true? Don't you try to, when I should bring my mother to the doctor, I try to horn in on that. Say, get on my shoulders.
Yeah. Until you have congestive heart failure and you're like, I think I should probably listen to this guy. You might know a thing or two.
Well, we'll be talking to my mother. I think you should go to the hospital right away. Yeah. But my foot's been hurting me. Before we take her to the hospital, could you look at my ankle? I think it's a little swollen. We always try to do that, horn in on somebody else, so we don't have to make an appointment and come back and pay all over again.
Normal people do that, not me.
Actually, my doctor for 20 some odd years, my mother went to him as well here in, it was in Summers. He used to let me do that, horn in on her appointments, and he would, that was it. That's what he did.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, so I
you double dipping on the old healthcare system. Listen to you.
Double dip those chips. Okay, before we get into all the heavy stuff, we got a lot of heavy stuff to talk to about what's in the news. We have something very important to discuss here.
Very important.
I mean, I don't want to make light of it. I don't want to make fun of it because it's important. Denise's parents moved to Florida, and they're very, very happy. And Denise appears to be upset over this.
My little Denise is crying. My adult Denise is very happy for my mom, my pa, Lockwood. Yeah, you know. But you have to set the context a little better there. Come on, Dad.
That's about the size of what I said.
No. So, like, I grew up on a farm in Ohio, in Worcester, Ohio. It's about an hour south of Cleveland. And this is where I grew up. This is where little Denise happened, right? And so my parents auctioned. And they just didn't, like, get a moving van and, like, load all of their stuff. No, they tossed everything that wasn't really nailed down. And they went in this little, like, their whole entire 60 years of being together, they put in a little baby U-Haul, right? So they're like, you want this? You want this? You want that? It's yours.
Well, my parents, when they left their home, now, they lived in New York their entire lives, on the Long Island since 1955. And in 2000, my mother decided we're going to retire to Florida. So she didn't want to bring anything with her. Everything was new in Florida. She literally got rid of every stick of furniture. She threw out my high school diploma.
Oh,
she threw out my brother's medical books. She threw out my Beatle ticket stubs from the Shea Stadium concert. I went to see the Beatles, threw those out. My brother calls me, and he said, you better get over here. I'm 1,500 miles away. What do you mean I better get over there? Mom's throwing everything out. She got a huge dumpster in the driveway. Everything's going.
That's what they did. Like literally some of my childhood friends who still live there were like narking on my mom and dad. Do you know how big that dumpster was? I'm like,
yeah, the dumpster was bigger than the house. Yeah. And mom's throwing, I got my medical books out of it. What's mine? I can't see. It's just, it keeps coming in. I
know. But to be fair, they actually moved during the hurricanes. The night before Helene came to Florida, my mom, my dad, and my brother-in-law were driving down there.
Well, I'll tell you, my mother did it like the Baltimore Colts when they moved to Indianapolis at 2 o'clock in the morning when nobody was paying attention.
They loaded up the new. That's a great time to do it. I'm going to have to chalk that up.
They loaded up the new.
When
the Baltimore Colts moved, they didn't want anybody starting a big fuss in Baltimore.
Honey, if you're listening, this is the way we're going to do it.
Like the Baltimore Colts leaving the Indianapolis. She's throwing everything. And this was my mother's response. And, Mom, you throw my high school diploma. If it was that important to you, you would have taken it with you.
Yes.
That's her answer.
Yes.
And she threw out everything. When she got to Florida, everything was new. All new furniture. Everything. She brought nothing back from the old house because she just were retiring. 10 years later, she was moving back to me.
Oh, wow.
She moved to an apartment.
Did you do the I told you so?
No, because my father was starting to lose it with Alzheimer's, and my mother just couldn't. I was flying down to Florida every few weeks to deal with this. The one time I got back to the airport here in Milwaukee, I got a call, and I booked another flight. I never left the airport.
Yeah,
I had to get back down there again. And then my sister-in-law and my brother were going, and this is, Mom, we can't come down every weekend. This is not like we're next-door neighbors.
Yeah. Well, so like one of the things that happened, though, is so my mom and dad, they moved down there. They're like, Helene happened. They're good. They're solid. They're like really super happy. Right. So like a few days later is when they start talking about Milton. And so like my mom's on dialysis three times a week. So they ended up holing up in this stadium for like 5 days. And my dad's probably like jonesing for like something to do. And they get to the house, like their entire area that they live in is all flooded. And I'm not just like, it's still flooded. The house, like literally God must have had a hand in like putting a little bubble around Ma and Pa Lockwood land, because
Ma, Pa,
like,
Lockwood.
The water was literally up to the driveway. The driveway.
I know. My daughter was there. Their water was going right. It actually came under the floorboards in the house.
Yeah.
They don't have basements there. Yeah.
Super grateful, Mom and Dad. But they sound so happy, though. Like, I think my dad best described his tone of voice is giddy like a girl.
But little Denise isn't happy.
Little Denise is
adult
so
Adult Denise
cray.
Is happy.
I went to call my mom and dad the other day, and I still keep trying my old phone number.
How
do I undo this?
When my parents moved from their home, they bought their home. Then we'll talk about something less serious than this. But they bought their home in 1955 for $14,500. My mother was so worried she wouldn't be able to sell the house. She took the first offer for
$250,000. Oh.
The house was sold again for $450,000. It's now on the market for $650,000.
Wow, isn't that crazy?
And they bought it for $14,000. It's Massapequa on Long Island. It's a beautiful community.
Yeah.
And the house is in great shape. My mother kept updating it. And so the house was in great shape. Little Donald didn't care. Little Donald didn't care because, I had a good time there.
Yeah.
But I moved on.
Yeah.
And... you know, I'll tell you something. I don't think I mentioned this on the air ever. My brother moved to Chicago to go to medical school, and I moved to Atlanta. The night before I moved to Atlanta, that night, I stayed at there. My wife and I stayed at that house, and because all our stuff was in the moving van going. And my father said, "Don't worry, Donald will be back." And my mother said, "Donald is never coming back. Jeffrey, my brother, will be back." My father, "Jeffrey's in Chicago forever. Donald, don't worry." My mother said again, "He's never coming back." And my mother was right. I never came back.
Yeah. I think one of, and I've kind of like self-psychoanalyzed this a little bit, is that I think one of the hard parts was this. I left when I was 22. And I moved here. I moved to Racine for love. And
how'd that work out for you?
Well, there's a reason why Mr. X Denise is Mr. X Denise, but you know, it's fine because I got a beautiful, intelligent, capable daughter, and I learned a lot. Let's put it that way. So, but like honestly, that was I thought I would always be able to go back, and I can't.
I know there's always.
But this story has a good ending. You know why? Do you know why little Denise is kind of singing a little? Is because when I was growing up, I square danced. And one of the girls that I used to square dance with, her brother is the one who bought the farm. So
aww.
I can go back and visit.
Oh, look at that. Denise has visiting rights.
I do.
she what do they call that in when you have visiting rights? What's that thing when children, you have... when you get divorced, it's not called visiting rights.
Visitation.
You have visitation.
Yes, I have visitation.
Supervised visitation.
Yeah.
You know, when I moved out of Brown Deer to come to Racine, Brown Deer, Wisconsin, the people who bought my home turned it into a brothel and house of bondage and prostitution.
Oh, my God. Oh, we did talk about that once. Wow.
So I can never go back.
Probably frowned on in the Rosenberg house.
Okay.
The Rosen household.
So here's what it is. We're going to talk about less serious topics like politics and everything else coming up and what's going on in Racine and more with Denise Lockwood. Now that we got the important stuff out of the way from Racine County Eye. That's coming up in just a moment here. WRJN 645. Local news. Timeless hits. Keep it here. W-R-J-N. Talking to Denise Lockwood, founder of Racine County Eye. And let's look at the schedule of what we got here. Racine has become one of the primary centers of national politics. How many people so far running for president or vice president have been in Racine in the past month? I think all of them. Yeah, all of them.
Well, actually, Biden was, well, Biden's not running, but Harris has been here. J.D. Vance is going to be here tonight. And then you also had Tim Walz here last week. And then you've definitely had Trump here. We've got the whole checklist. We are ground zero.
Yeah, well, how did Racine get to be ground zero? Why not Madison? Why not?
It's the perfect storm, really. I mean, you've got economic diversity. You've got a really very blatant center of poverty. You've got the middle class. You've got a lot more affluent folks living out west of the I. You also have agriculture. You have manufacturing. And then you also have Microsoft, right? And so, like, I think when I think about why Racine County has been such a huge focus, it's because of that. You also have a lot of diversity when it comes to black and brown people. And you've got just all of the mix. We reflect the United States. And so that's what is really drawing people here. But also, we're winnable. We are from both sides, because over the last several presidential races, the margins have been very slim. So Trump won the 2020 election by maybe, I want to say, less than 10% of the vote. Hillary won I'm having one of those not enough coffee moments, Don Rosen.
No, you're thinking about your parents in Florida.
No. It's actually so, like, though Hillary won just by a little bit. And I might be wrong on that. I'm having somebody fact check me, because I'm sure somebody out there is going to anyway. I'm having one of those not enough coffee moments, but it wasn't by much. And so we are persuadable, but also very politically involved. The last few elections, our participation in the presidential elections is very high. The last, in 2020, our voter turnout rate was super high. I want to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was about 85-90% voter turnout. And so we're in, but this is different. This is very different.
I got to tell you, I just got back from Door County. I have never seen so many yard signs in my entire life.
Yeah.
Than on this trip from Racine all the way up to Door County. It was just, and they were everywhere. Now, the further north I got, the less I recognized some of the secondary names on there. Here, right. You can recognize some of the secondary names. I got up there and I said, I've never seen so many yard signs before, even in my own neighborhood. I mean, people are really taking sides in this.
Yeah. And you know, I've noticed in my neighborhood that, that during the 2020 election, in my neighborhood, there were a lot more signs, but there aren't as many now. And I'm wondering if people are either still deciding or they're afraid to put yard signs out. However, I don't either. Like, the political yard signs are not ever happening in the Lockwood Davis household. That's just an ongoing, unfortunate beef.
That's a statute. There's a new statute out there.
And I tell my husband, wear a button. Wear a button. If that's where you feel, wear a button, because I cannot be that person for having political signs in our yard. So that's just one of the caveats of being a journalist.
Yeah, and I don't do it because I don't know how my wife votes. She never tells me. I have no idea who she votes for ever. And the reason she doesn't tell me was because she says if she tells me how she voted and I don't like it, I'll never let her forget it. I'll just stay on her case. She says we avoid all arguments now. We don't get this doesn't, you know, so we just avoid it. I don't tell you.
So you, you tap out. See, that in Lockwood, in Mon-Pie Lockwood land, that does not happen because my dad is very much a Republican and my mom is very much a Democrat. And so they have like this little system. They have a thing, right? So, yeah, they talk about politics, but very...
No, we can't talk about it in my house. No. No, 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 no. She doesn't want to. And you know what? I respect that. She doesn't want to hear me ranting and raving. And I do. So I say, you're right. No politics in the house. I just don't discuss it with her. Now, when I get on the phone with my brother, we have a great time on the phone.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, but not much.
Do you have any, like, difficult relationships, like, in your family at large or extended family? Because
No.
I do.
No,
but
they all vote
we've
the same
all kind of, like, tapped out. We're like, we're going to still like each other at the end of the day. That this isn't worth it. Kind
it's
of a thing.
It's worth it.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, some families do that. I ran into an acquaintance of mine the other day at a local restaurant, and he was saying that he has a friend who's married, and they're going to get divorced after the election. And I'm like, really? How does that happen?
That it's that bad, huh?
Yeah. So, and on Three Mile Road, not far from where I live, there are these two houses, and I'm really wanting to go knock on their door and ask them how they're doing, because one has Trump signs and the other one has Harris-Walz signs. And so, like, how do you coexist with that? Right. Like, how do you navigate?
I don't have a problem. My neighbors tend to all vote like I do. I think they do anyway. And my immediate family, I think they tend to vote the same way I do. So we don't have any arguments.
Yeah.
But, there are people that I deal with every day that I just want to say to them, why do you feel this way? Why do you want to vote this way? It doesn't matter who you vote for. Why do you feel this way? And 9 out of 10 times I go, dope. No, I don't.
I can tell you, though, that there's a lot of misinformation that is coming through. And it's hard to navigate that, especially on my Racine County I Facebook page. And so it's to the point where I'm now, unfortunately, needing to block a few people because they keep spreading a lot more misinformation than I am going to tolerate. Yeah. And so we're getting so close to the election. Like, if you're putting information on my Racine County I Facebook page about voter fraud and things along that line, I mean, no.
I can't.
The 2020 election was not stolen. That's not.
I go to a lot of radio pages and movie pages.
Yep.
That's just what I am. The political commentary will work its way into those things.
Absolutely.
We're talking about, movies from the 50s and 60s, thrillers, and all. It creeps in by, I can't believe you. You know, when the Republicans or the Democrats were in charge, we didn't have movies. What are you talking about?
It's
I'm talking about Alfred Hitchcock, and you're talking.
It's like, stay on topic. We have a really hard time being on topic, But one of the things that I've noticed is that there's a lot of people who are just not believing information, basic, like what we would call shared knowledge, right? So, and here's an example. So I'm sitting at the Tim Walz thing, and I'm waiting for everybody to come through, and I just post a photo, and it's just a photo of, empty chairs and the American flag and Memorial Hall, right? And I put this post and I said, hey, we're just waiting for Tim Walz. And I'm hearing that other candidates from the Republican Party are going to be coming next week. And you can't say that Racine's not a national focus for politics. And somebody's like, well, they let the Democrats actually hang the American flag. And then somebody's like, well, that photo is just AI. And I'm like, no, I took the photo. It's basic stuff like that. And you can't have good conversations when we do that.
Somebody wrote, one of the comedians said, he said, I can't, I'm gonna screw it up now. He said something about trying to change people's minds on Facebook. He said, It's really easy to do. We never really. You could change somebody's mind on Facebook. Yeah. You can't do it. I am on no pages on Facebook where it has anything to do with politics. I just don't want to deal with it.
A lot of people are tapping out. You know,
I just don't want to deal with it because I don't want to. I can't deal with the arguments, and I don't want to deal with
it. I get it. I get it because it's hard even for me as a journalist and the owner of a news website to do this work as well. And it's kind of sometimes, I'm not going to lie, it's sometimes soul sucking stuff. But I feel really, really passionate about doing this work primarily because nobody else is going to do a lot of the things that we're doing because of the current status of legacy media, right? So, you know, you've got a newspaper in town that now has only a handful of people. And
what happened over there? It's just the fact that newspapers nationwide.
I mean, there's,
except the New York Times and the Washington Post.
Do you know why that is? Is because they fund journalism through gaming, like that one word puzzle that everybody does. The New York Times owns that.
Oh, the crossword puzzle.
Yeah. It's not the crossword.
Not
puzzle.
Jumble.
No. What's the other one? The
Wordle.
The Wordle. The New York Times that. I was at professional conference, and the guy that was with the New York Times was saying that's how they're funding a lot of their journalism is through gaming. That's where we are.
So,
folks,
so right? You're telling me if the Journal Times came up with a good game like Wordle?
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole nother subject.
Right.
And I really try to stay in my own lane because I really just know what I want to make sure the community has. And it's hard. It's hard to fund journalism right now, especially with the fact that, you know,
You're trying to fund journalism.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. But, you know, it's one of those things that we've had a lot of success with our reader revenue. And we can kind of get into the weeds on that. And I don't want to go there completely. But, you know, it's one of those things where people are starting to understand that they need to have really strong information. But one thing that should scare you is that we now have more fake news websites than we do local news websites across the United States. Just let that sit there with you for a moment.
Sip your coffee.
I think I will sit there with you. I'm going to.
Denise Lockwood is here, founder of Racine County. I at 7 o'clock on the noggin.
Local news and timeless.
Let's check news.
WRJN, Racine Kenosha.
To admit that's funny.
Yeah, but it strikes a nerve that like how we look at presidents is really interesting, or candidates I should say is interesting because talk radio has been an interesting dynamic within having those conversations. I can tell you that.
Yeah. I was laughing
too
hard.
We're just going to let that hang right there.
I was laughing too hard at that because it's so true. Even if he was the best candidate, would you elect somebody named Charles Manson Hitler? Yeah. Even though he was going to run this country perfectly, would you still vote for him?
that is a challenge.
What's in a name? Okay, let's talk about some other things here. By the way, are you noticing more signs this year? We talked about lawn signs. Are you noticing more this year?
I'm noticing it's spotty to me, but there has been more signs in over the last few weeks. I do know that on the Democratic Party side, they had to remake all the signs, right? From the Biden-Harris
Wells.
So they didn't get their signs out, until the last few months, right? So that was a big challenge because for a while you didn't see a lot of Harris Walls signs at all. And that's why, because I asked and I'm like, that's interesting.
Talk about the commercials, TV, radio. Yeah. I always love the TV commercials. If whatever candidate you vote they're against, they always find these black and white photos of
the messy hair,
facial expressions that are scary, a blink of the eye, one eye's open, one eye's closed. They always find these bad photos to put up there.
Yeah.
And then their candidate looks like a ray of sunshine just hit them.
Right, with perfect hair, the family.
The teeth are smiling. There's no spinach between the teeth.
Yeah, but one of the things things that I've noticed is just somebody who studies communications and how, you know, that media critic in me as well is like when you see a lot of these ads, one of the things that I see is when we were in Ohio, when we were in a lot of the different states, when we were traveling this year, we saw the same ad base and it was just a different candidate. So, I mean, who knew that puberty blockers were actually going to be the main problem that we needed to solve, right? Who knew? And a lot of it's a lot of these ads are homophobic and you've got some deep pushing of the buttons of around fear with immigration. And one of the things that I'm noticing is the setting of the stage for challenges for people who have maybe some different types of cards that they have. So I just got a press release from Brian Stile Camp around challenging and asking questions from the WEC for clarification around some of these different kinds of visitor cards or temporary. So I'm seeing signals that this is the hill that they want to really push on. And one of the things that was really interesting to me is the conversation around illegal immigrants voting. Friends, illegal, or actually people who are non-citizens cannot vote. And what's interesting is a lot of that news cycle came from the Heritage Foundation. And the Heritage Foundation is the think tank around the authorship of Project 2025 and had a very heavy influence in a lot of the Republican National Party agenda. And so, like, those are the things where talk, you know, not to slam radio, but like,
oh, never do that.
Never do that. Don't bite the hand that feeds you, right? But like, there's a mediation that needs to happen when we're consuming information about whether things are true or false.
This is the first time in U.S. history that a former president can't even vote for himself.
Well, in Wisconsin, he wouldn't be if he was on probation or parole. So, like,
but he's a convicted felon.
So not all states are the same comes to that, right? I did a whole, like, back in 2020, I did a whole 5-part series on felony voter disenfranchisement. And people who are convicted of felonies that are in the middle of their sentence, and so they can be on what's called paper, is probation or parole. And so those folks cannot vote. And if Trump was a resident of Wisconsin and if he was on probation or parole, he would not be able to vote.
What about in Florida?
I'm not sure. I believe Florida has a condition where if you've served out your prison term.
He hasn't, obviously.
Well, and because he hasn't been sentenced.
Yeah, but he's still a convicted felon.
He is a convicted felon. But I believe, and this is what fascinated me, is that when I was doing that series, Florida has a provision where if you've done your time, your prison sentence, if you've paid your fines and fees off, then you can vote.
It's something I never have to personally worry
about. In Connecticut, this is funny. In Connecticut, if you are in, they don't take anybody's rights away. So even if you're in prison, you can vote. And Washington, D.C. was looking at a provision like similar to that. But states treat that very differently. And I think that, so Wisconsin has one of the highest incarceration rates in the entire United States.
We just ran a poll the other day I had here in the morning, and it said, how many people will be happy when this election is over?
Me.
A lot of people have. There is a percentage of people, it's like 14%, said no, they want it to continue. You got to be kidding. I'm exhausted with this thing already.
Right. Try writing it.
Yeah. I'm a news junkie. I listen to talk radio a lot. I listen to the news shows on I am putting on true crime shows now because that's making me happier than listening to the politics.
You want to hear something that was funny is that my husband and I were watching TV together, one of the rare moments in the last 3 months. And this one commercial for like some like Drano kind of esque thing came on and it happened to repeat like 3 times. And I was like, dude, how many times are they going to run this commercial? And he's like, wait, no. Don't say that. At least it's not a political ad.
But speaking about TV commercials, I'm watching ABC World News the other day, and I'm telling you, I'm not kidding. Every single commercial was for a pill or a drug.
You know what's really funny, though? I'm going to point this out because I think it's worth really understanding, is that I have sold one political ad. One for this season. Okay. Hoping that's going to change. We'll see what happens.
We've had a lot here.
But, like, I know. But doesn't that tell you something about where people think the audience is? Because there was research done that a lot of people do turn off the news. And so they're not investing in that format. Now, I knew that was going to happen because I've been seeing this slow slide for a while. So I pivoted and we did some fundraising. We did some grant making and things along that line. But that tells me, A, that's not where they think their audience is. Right. And so that is really unfortunate for me as a business owner who owns a news website, because I've got to fund this stuff. But that is a really big problem.
Coffee ain't free.
No, it's true. And I need a lot of it, friends.
All right. It's 7:21. Denise Lockwood, Racine County I, is with me today. Let's get some of the things on your list here. You say Uber is giving a 50% discount to people looking for rides to the polls.
That struck me as odd. Like, but I get it. But I think that's really interesting. And, like,
they're being nice.
The NFL is really stumping for voting, and it's all hands are deck. So it's not to say that people don't want you to exercise your right to vote, because they certainly do. It's everywhere. You can't escape it.
Disinformation. Now, the Republicans will say the Democrats are all full of disinformation everywhere they go. The Democrats accuse the Republicans. You don't know who's right and who's wrong. You don't know.
Well, and that's one of the things where actually strong journalism would actually be super helpful.
Yeah, but people watching Fox will swear the Democrats are the demons.
Yeah.
People watching MSNBC will swear the Republicans are the demons.
No, I'm talking about the real stuff, like the real meat and potatoes.
Oh,
stuff,
okay, right? The actual issues?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a novel idea with talk about issues.
So you go to Racine County, you'll get the truth.
That's, I'm hoping, really hard that people do.
You get the truth there.
Well,
huh?
And so, here's an example. Like, this morning, one of our top stories is about little baby Raymond school, and they're facing a referendum of $3 million, but there's some really deep-seated issues around how they got there as far as what the board was doing, what they knew, what they didn't know. I have a really personal hard time with the idea that they didn't know that they were going to face I think it's like $679,000 shortfall. You know, that's a big deal when you're talking a $5.5 million budget. But it's also got ties to the larger context of the Moms for Liberty agenda. And so, you know, if you want a playbook or a real case scenario of what happens when we kind of tap out, this is one of the other reasons why I say this is not a normal election, friends. I have never in 25, almost 26 years of being a journalist been told to open records request a budget ever. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that because local journalism has not been able to show up at these meetings consistently, that is a massive problem. And so when we started showing up and we got open records requests, literally the superintendent who had left Raymond School in December of 2023 was working on the 23-24 budget in February of 24 to turn it into DPI. Okay. And the reason why we know that is through open records requests. The reason why we know that is because we were able to really kind of dig underneath the problems. And so there are some deep-seated issues with how these school boards are understanding what their role is in a fiduciary responsibility to say what you're spending and how you're spending it and being accountable to that process.
Let's jump down to predictions right here. What are your predictions?
We got a lot coming up. There's going to be an election.
Okay, well, hold on. Let me write this down.
I know it's rocket science.
You're like the horoscope. It says something will happen. There will be an election.
I
got news for you. Maybe that's something that's not so obvious. There will be an election.
Well, and I think that I doubt very seriously that it's going to be decided on election night, because you have a massive number of early voting. You've got mail-in voting. By the way, mail-in voting has been happening since 1992. There are a lot of checks and balances. I talked to Wendy Christensen, the Racine County clerk, about how she's feeling about things, and she's very confident in having a free and fair election. With that said, I also know that there are going to be a lot of observers. I also know there is going to be observers observing the observers. So it's going to be crazy. Honestly, at the end of the day, I hope that we are going to be okay. Because we're not mentally, we are having a hard time processing shared knowledge of common understanding of problem and looking through the lens of solutions. I think we have a hard time getting beyond the sound bites and the spoon-fed drip campaign of, what we're hearing. And it's hard, but I hope that families can heal. I hope that families can come together and really have productive conversations. And one of the things that we've been doing is we had election literacy stories. We've been doing election literacy stories and holding events around election literacy for the last couple of months. And then we also have coffee with candidates. We had and those are really been fascinating, but it's we're doing all of the work that we're trying to do, right?
You're going to come back after the election?
I think we're going to have to get through election fog, because that's going to take me a few days.
No, I got to get you back here, because you have good opinions on this and you have more insight than a lot of people have into it. So we're going to get you back here right after the election.
Sounds good.
Not the day after, but
no, give me a couple of days and give me lots of coffee. Yeah.
You and this coffee.
I know. I
never tasted coffee in my life. Yeah. I know. Is it that good?
It is that good.
Okay. It's that dairy creamer you put in there, right?
It is.
That's what does it all. And the sugar.
The hazelnut.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Denise Lockwood from Racine County. I'm going to get her in here after Election Day. She got good insight. And don't forget to go to RacineCountyEye.com on your wherever you get your not Facebook. What am I thinking about?
The web?
Yeah, the web. The internet.
The internet webs.
Go on there, and Racine County Eye, and support it. She does a good job over there. We got to have more news services out there.
Thank you so much for having me.
Because they're dripping away, these news services, and we can't let that happen. And I'm glad you're fighting for it.
Fighting hard.
Yeah, I know you are.
Fighting hard.
Yeah, well, coffee's expensive.
Yes.
All right, thank you, Denise. Denise Lockwood from Racine County Eye, RacineCountyEye.com. Read the website, read her news, and support her website.